Welcome to the Hope City Church podcast. We're so glad you're here. Wherever you're listening from, get ready for a powerful message that will inspire your faith, challenge you to grow, and remind you that there's always hope in Jesus. Let's lean in and hear what God has for us today.
Today we're continuing in our series of The Mask of Religion. And one thing that we're hearing, one thing you're hearing across the board from pastors is how short time is. Like, we got to live like our time is short. The book of Revelation is coming alive in front of us, right? And here's the thing. Religion keeps you away from relationship. And when you dig in, with time being short, there's a scripture that keeps me up at night. It's the scripture that Jesus said, "Away from me, for I never knew you." What does that mean? It means there are going to be people that thought that they were religious enough to get into heaven, and they never knew Jesus. You can be religious and not know Jesus. You can put in all of the, you can go, "Oh man, I crossed all my T's, checked all the boxes that I could do." And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, that's religion. Religion, you might go, "Well, aren't we here for religion?" No, we're here for Jesus. Religion is a man-made set of rules that we try to control, thinking we can make our own way to God. And the reality of it is, there is no way to God except through his son, Jesus. There's no other way. The world, they're great with God. But the moment you say there's only one way and you have to surrender your life to Jesus, that's where the problem starts to come in. Because we are people that don't like to be told what to do. We are people that don't like to submit. We are people that want to tell others what to do. And Jesus is saying, "Listen, surrender your life to me and you will find life." Not religion. And we're in the book of Matthew 22. We're in Matthew chapter 22. It's one of the most intense, defining moments in all of Scripture. I would like to say from the Passion Week, the week that Sunday that Jesus came in on the Via Dolorosa, and there was all the palm trees and Palm Sunday, to the time he ascended into heaven and the day of Pentecost, was probably the most intense time of history. What Jesus was doing when the Holy Spirit fell on that upper room, and listen to what the results were. The Holy Spirit fell and over 3,000 were saved the next day. You talk about power, and here's what America's church, we're missing. Because we want to control the Holy Spirit. We want to control God. So we put him in a box and say, "Oh, the Holy Spirit is for it's not for today." I think the Holy Spirit is more for today than it's ever been, because the need is greater. So when you read about that, that's what unmasked religion. When the Holy Spirit comes into your life, you see this incredible 40 and 50 days, 50 days where, man, just life was changed. And I want you to know that, and I've said this before, but this last, that book of Matthew, Matthew 22, is the last week of Jesus' life. And I guarantee you what he said during this week was some of the most important things that he would leave for us as he was getting ready to go back to heaven. One thing he was confronted with over and over and over again was the spirit of religion and the people who operated with this spirit of religion. And here's what I'm excited about today. We are going to talk about identity. And here's what I want you to know. Identity is one of the biggest crises in our country today. People do not know who they are. There are believers sitting in this room. You don't know who you are in Christ. You've let everything else define you, and today I'm going to challenge you to let Holy Spirit define you. I'm going to challenge you to let Jesus define you, to take that mask of religion off and say, "Okay, Jesus, here it is. Here's me. Strip this away and show me who I really am." Religion is man's made-up plan to get to God by trying to be perfect and following all the laws that we create. Relationship is the opposite. Near to God in heart, surrendered in spirit, and transformed in life. Relationship is recognizing how much Jesus loves me despite my sin, despite my past. Some of you, you are allowing your past to identify who you are today. And you are a new creation. You are not what you did in the past. You are defined by what God has already done for you and what's going to happen in the future. So you need a mind shift. Some of you, I'm going to say it. Some of you have struggled with addiction, and you believe that all you can ever be is an addict. And right now, I'm breaking that off your life, because you are a son and a daughter of Christ, and you are not an addict, and you are not defined by that any longer. Those chains that held you, you break free of it. You don't have to be perfect for Jesus to love you. In fact, I want you to know something. There's nothing you could do that would make Jesus love you any more or any less than he already does. Let that get in your heart for just a minute. Because some of you believe that you're unlovable. Some of you believe that you're unlovable. And Jesus is saying, I love you just the way you are. Surrender your life. Let me do the work. I don't know if this gets you excited, but I've been excited all week about this message. You don't have to be perfect. Religion is knowing about God, but you don't know Jesus. There's a lot of believers you know about God, but you don't know him. You know about all the rules, but you don't know him. And God is saying, and Jesus is saying today, he's inviting you to get to know him as a friend. Relationship changes your schedule. Religion changes your schedule. Relationship changes your heart. Religion is performance for God. Relationship is surrender to God. That's where we have the problem, because we want to run our own lives. Let me ask you this. If you've been wanting to run your own life, has it been working for you? Some of you are in the ditch of life because you've been running your own life for too long. And it's time to let the tow truck, Jesus, come, pull you out and get you back on the right path. Relationship is surrendered to God. A religious person is often more focused on the rules, the rituals, and appearances than on genuine heart transformation. Here's the problem with religion. It becomes a mask that you wear. It becomes your identity. It becomes a big problem. A religious person defines themselves by what they do or what they don't do for God, and they think they're okay. That becomes the mask that they wear. They think, oh man, I can put this mask on. I look really good on the end, on the outside, but I'm not good on the inside. I look good. Man, people think that I'm the best Christian ever, but I know I'm a hot mess on the inside. And Jesus came for you, and he can break that off. Religion, the mask of religion defined how the Pharisees and the Sadducees saw their life and how they operated. That mask of religion, the religious leaders of the day, if you look into Matthew, and that's what Jesus talked about almost exclusively that last week. He was calling out those religious leaders and saying, no, there's got to be a different way. So why do we still fall into the trap of religion today? Why do we let that identify us? Religion shaped their worldview and even how they saw God. And what it was is they tried to control and they tried to manipulate God and Jesus to do what they wanted him to do, because that's what a religious person does, is they try to control everything. They don't let Jesus take control. Whew. There's a large pressure on being perfect and making your own way to heaven by religious acts versus accepting the free gift of salvation that was offered by Jesus. Some of you are sitting here thinking, I'm good enough. I'm a good person. Like, that's going to get me into heaven. I have news for you. If you have not surrendered your life to Jesus and given your heart to him and said, Jesus, I'm yours, you're not getting into heaven. You go, Matt, Pastor Jason, that's rough. Listen.
Yeah. That's right.
We got to start acting like we believe there's a heaven and a hell.
Yeah.
Right? And people are going to go there. That's why these seats should all be full with the people you're inviting who don't know Jesus. Because none of you know when your card is up. I mean, look at the guy. I don't even remember his name, Bush. He was a race car driver, 41 years old, dead and gone this week. Newsflash. No one gets out of here alive. Are you ready? Are you ready? That's what Jesus was saying. The free gift. There's going to be a day when people realize I had this gift standing right in front of me and I turned it down because I had so much pride. I had so much arrogance thinking I could do it my own way, and I did not accept the free gift of Jesus. That's why the religious leaders of the day thought that they were way better than everyone else. Religion blinds you to the fact that no one is perfect and everyone needs a Savior. Because what they were doing is, oh yeah, we know this word. We're perfect. Look at our lives. Like, we're so good. Like, this is, like, we've done everything. Like, we sit and we read the Bible all day long. We bind it to our head. We put it on our arms. Look at what we've done. And it blinded them to their need for a Savior. One thing people often miss in the Gospel of Matthew is that Jesus wasn't just correcting the theology of the Pharisees. He was exposing their hearts. ooh, it's going to get really uncomfortable, because Jesus still exposes people's hearts today. And here's the thing about exposing people's hearts. He does it in a way that brings healing and hope and all of the good. He goes, listen, I'm not going to let this infection in your life. Listen, they have to expose that infection to heal it. They got to get it out of you if you have an infection physically. Jesus will expose your heart. Here's a newsflash. The enemy will expose your heart too. Some of us think we can hide. Some of us think, oh man, if nobody knows who I truly am, I can look so good in church on Sunday, but go live like the devil Monday through Friday. If people don't think that the enemy will expose their heart, you better be ready. Because here's what happens. The enemy exposes you when you can least afford it, when it's going to cost the most, when it's going to tear you down. He brings shame. He brings guilt. Why do you think Adam and Eve were sitting in that garden ashamed because they were naked? Because the enemy exposed them. Do you see the difference? Jesus exposes to bring healing. The enemy exposes to bring destruction. And it will always come. Mark my words. Either Jesus exposes your heart or the enemy. And you can run, and you can run, and you can run. People, I see it in church all the time. Jesus begins to expose their heart, and they run. They run. Until the moment that the enemy finally exposes them to everyone around. My dad said it well. He said, you can hide for a while, but the enemy waits till you can least afford it to expose you. So I guess my question to you is, are you going to let the Lord expose you, or is it going to be the enemy? He was exposing their hearts. They knew the right answers about the Messiah being the son of David, but they could not recognize that the Messiah was standing right in front of them, was also David's Lord. And that's going to make sense here in just a minute. Jesus was revealing that he was not just a teacher, a prophet, a political leader, but God in the flesh. The religious leaders had knowledge without surrender, religion without relationship. This passage ultimately becomes a question of identity and authority. Is Jesus just someone that people admire, or is he truly Lord and Savior over every part of our lives? Say this word with me. Every. God, I'm okay if you have 90%. But that final 10%, I'm a control freak. I want to control everything. That's religion. Break it off. 100%. Say it. Every. Jesus exposed the religious leaders. He still exposes that mask of religion and the wrong identity that people build around it. There's something powerful about exposure. And we talked about that a little bit. No one likes being exposed. We spend our lives trying to cover things up. We cover weakness. We cover insecurity. We cover fear. We cover failure. And in some ways, we even celebrate it. We're living in a nation that celebrates fear, anxiety, worry, and it makes people sick. And you know what it ultimately says? I trust myself more than I trust God. I trust myself more than I trust God. How's that working for you? We cover identity issues. We cover wounds. If you cover it up, all it's going to do is compact it and make it worse. At some point, we got to be honest. Religion is good at creating masks. You can look holy and still be hiding. You can quote scripture and still know who you are. You can sit in church every week and still let the enemy define your identity. Blind to the religious spirit that defines your life. What is defining your life at this very moment? And you might go, Pastor, I was saved a long time ago. I know what defines my life. Do you really? Because here's the thing. The enemy continues to chip away at your identity all the time. Are you on guard? Are you saying, Jesus, I'm yours. You tell me who I am. I'm not going to be defined by the world anymore. You with me? This should be a celebration. This is truth that sets people free. In Matthew 22, Jesus pulls the mask off of these religious leaders. For chapter after chapter, they'd been questioning him. They've been testing him, trying to trap him, trying to discredit him. But now Jesus turned the tables. He's good at turning tables. Yeah. He asks them one question, and it exposes everything. Because the greatest battle in your life is the battle over your identity. Because what you see as your identity will determine how you operate in life. It's your operating system. And some of you have an operating system, like if you were a computer, you'd have all kinds of viruses in that operating system. And you need a clean, fresh start. Because Jesus wants to define you. Jesus wants to give you an identity. The enemy has always attacked identity. In the garden, he attacked identity. In the wilderness, he attacked Jesus' identity. And he's still attacking identity today. And it's one of our greatest issues in our nation where we live. Because if the enemy can confuse your identity, he can control your destiny. Let me say it again. If the enemy can control your identity, he controls your destiny. Ho! He will use whatever he can to define your identity if you'll let him. Even things that seem so good but are off just a little bit. The enemy traffics in things that seem so good and it seems so close to who Jesus was and what he did, but it's so far away. He knows how to deceive. You got to have some discernment, friends. You got to say, Jesus, show me. That's why we need Holy Spirit to give us discernment. That's why you need conviction. Where the enemy, when he comes, the Holy Spirit starts to give a little conviction on your shoulder today. Don't do that. Go a different way. And listen, here's the thing about conviction. You can quiet it to the point that you won't hear it. If you keep ignoring it, you quiet that voice. He's not going to yell at you. In fact, you don't want God to yell at you. That's not a good thing. The challenge is if you don't know whose you are, you'll never know who you are. Our identity must be formed by God and rooted in God's word. On a regular basis, we need to be asking God to root out areas of our lives where identity doesn't match who God says we are. Don't let it stand for a minute. What area in your life are you believing right now that doesn't line up with this scripture? What area, what lie are you believing about yourself that doesn't line up with who Jesus called you to be? What area of your life are you allowing to stand that you need to say, no more. This is what I'm standing on. No more. No more of the unforgiveness. No more of the lies that people have been trying to put on me. No more of the enemy. I'm looking at this word and that's who I am. Are you with me? Identity. And as we come to this portion of scripture today, and we're going to read it here in just a minute, Jesus' identity was defined when the Bible says that Jesus was the Son of God. He was God's only Son. And today our identity is just like Jesus. We have to be rooted in the fact that we are sons and daughters of God. He has adopted us into his family. So if you ever wonder, like, man, are my finances going to be taken care of? You twist that right or wrong, and here's what you say. I know my finances are going to be taken care of because I know who my dad is, and he always takes care of his children, and that's God. See how it changes? Some of you are living in a poverty mentality because you haven't found out what God has already spoken to you about what he's promised you. You're living below what God has called you to live. Because you don't realize you're a son and a daughter. For some, when I say son and daughter, because you had terrible parents, all of a sudden you have this idea like, oh my gosh, if God's going to be like that, he is the most perfect dad you'll ever find. You'll find healing when you give your life to him. We receive the inheritance that he's promised us. We can take God's promises to the bank and trust him because we are his sons and daughters. We can know that God is going to take care of us because dad always meets the needs of his sons and daughters. He will protect us because that's what dads do. The religious leaders were trying to expose Jesus, and he turned the tables in just one set of scriptures and shut it all down. Let's read it. Matthew 22, 41 through 46. Then surrounded by the Pharisees, Jesus asked them a question. What do you think about the Messiah? Whose son is he? They replied, he's the son of David. Jesus responded, then why does David, speaking under the inspiration of the Spirit, call the Messiah my Lord? For David said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit in a place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies beneath your feet. Since David called the Messiah my Lord, how can the Messiah be a son? No one could answer him, and after that, no one dared to ask any more questions. That was done. Do you see where the religious leaders made one little switch, and that would completely redefine Jesus? They were after his identity, right? And one little switch. Because here's the question. Is he going to be the son of David or the son of God? That's the question. That's the question in your life. Who is he? Is he going to be the Savior or are you going to be the Savior? Wow. One little switch. Do you guys catch that? Because if you read this, that is how crazy the enemy can be. It can sound so right. Well, yeah, David. Yeah, I mean, like, well, of course it was in the lineage of David. Like, all of these things, like, it seems so right. But if you don't know the scripture,
right,
it's so wrong. Because what it did right there, and what religion tries to do, is it takes Jesus out of the seat as Savior and the Son of God and puts the person into it. When Jesus laid it down and the question was answered, I love this part. And after that, no one dared ask him any more questions. What lie are you believing that seems almost so right, but is so off of Scripture? What lie has the enemy spoke over your life? The question was over. The questions, the leaders had been exposed. People could see their hearts. So again, my question to you today is, who or what forms your identity? Is it religion? Is it being perfect? Do you operate from the perspective that if you're perfect and you do everything good and you've crossed your religious T's and I's, and that's going to get you into heaven? Does a religious mindset determine how you live your life or how you see others? Boy, I'll tell you what, the spirit of religion loves to point out all the downfalls in others. Well, look at that. They must not be holy. They're not raising their hands in church. Stop worrying about everybody else and put your eyes on yourself. Right? That's like when the Bible said, you're picking out the little splinter in your brother's eye when you have this log in yours.
Wow.
Religion causes us to miss what's actually in our lives that Jesus wants to take care of.
Wow.
Does a religious mindset determine how you live and define what Jesus has already done for you? Do you see yourself as a son and daughter? What defines you? What does the enemy use that is not of God that's defined you? If it's anything other than what God has said about you, it's time to ask Jesus to expose your heart. In fact, here's my challenge to you. Every day, Jesus, what lie am I believing that the enemy has tried to insert into my mind or heart that's not true about you? Because when you start believing those lies, that begins to form your identity. And that identity is always in question. Right? And he'll throw things your way. The enemy knows. He was third in charge. So he knows religion. He can be religious all day long. He masquerades as an angel of light when he's full of darkness. You got to be on. And I'm telling you, we're living in this moment in time where your discernment better be high. You better be high. You better not be high. I mean, we live in Oregon. Nobody, I'm not saying you be high. Okay, we're going to go really quick because I'm out of time. On that note. Okay. Here's how religion shapes our identity. Point number one, religion can know about Jesus and still miss who he is.
Wow.
They knew scripture, they knew prophecy, they knew the law, but they missed the Jesus standing right in front of them. They had information without revelation. Listen, don't just read this book for information. Read it for revelation. And that's where every time you sit down, Holy Spirit, bring this book to life.
That's right.
And if you've shut the Holy Spirit out in your life because you don't feel like he's for today, you better rethink that. We need Holy Spirit. That information without revelation. Jesus asked them, whose son's the Messiah? They immediately answer, the son of David. Technically, they were right, but they were incomplete. They understood Jesus as a historical figure. They understood his earthly lineage, but they refused to acknowledge his divine identity. Which is what religion does. There are people today doing the exact same thing. I said it before. Jesus is the only way to salvation. If you don't recognize Jesus, you won't recognize your need for a Savior. People will say, Jesus was a good teacher. Jesus was moral. Jesus was inspiring. Jesus was a prophet. Jesus was the same as Muhammad. Jesus was the same as Buddha. They're not alive today. They're dead. So they're not the same. I've ran into people who like, oh, I study all these world religions, and they're all this. No, they're not the same. Jesus is the only way to salvation. And don't get confused with it. Jesus was more than David's son. He was the Son of God. Religion reduces Jesus down to something manageable. Relationship reveals him as Lord. The Pharisees were comfortable with a Messiah they could explain, but uncomfortable with the Savior they had to surrender to. You can explain them all day long, but have you surrendered? Only Jesus is Lord. He gets authority over everything. That's why this moment exposed them. The issue was never the lack of evidence. The issue was their pride. And it still plays out in our lives today. Nobody's telling me what to do. Really? How's it working for you? Like, I'm mad at these people and I'm holding on to unforgiveness because of what they did for me. Unforgiveness is not for that person. It's for you. You got to let it go.
That's right.
Okay, number two. The enemy always attacks identity first. It's the oldest strategy of hell, and he has no new things, so he's doing the same thing today. How has he attacked your identity? What lies are you believing? You better figure it out, and you better ask him. Ask the Lord to show you. The enemy attacked Eve's identity. He goes back to the garden when he said, did God really say? The enemy attacked Jesus' identity in the wilderness. If you're the Son of God, notice Satan attacked identity before assignment. Because identity determines how you're going to behave. If you know who you are in Christ and whose you are, it's going to completely change how you operate in life. Some of you have been living under labels the enemy gave you. Failure, addict, abandoned, broken, unwanted, unqualified, dirty, not enough. Those are false identities that the enemy, you're always going to be this way. Because if he can get you to believe the wrong thing about yourself long enough, you'll eventually live it out. We got to be on guard. Don't ever sit here and think, well, I've been saved for 8 years. That's not going to happen to me. Wow. Baloney.
Yeah.
It can happen to any of us. You got to know whose you are. You got to know what he says about you. Some people have built their life around their wounds. Some people love to be the victim instead of the victor. You are not a victim, so stop living that way. You are a victor. That means you have the victory. Break free of that victim mindset because that is the identity Jesus wants to give you. Some people still define themselves by what somebody said, by what somebody did, by what they failed at, what they lost and what they struggle with. But your struggle is not your identity. The enemy wants to name you by your weakness. God names you by redemption. The enemy says, you are what you did. He is accuser of the brethren. So when he exposes your heart, what he does is, oh, see, look at that person. See, he's the accuser. He loves to accuse you of all the things that you've done wrong. When Jesus comes along, and if you know the Lord, he wipes it away and gives you a fresh, clean slate, and that's not what you're identified by anymore. So stop looking in the mirror. And stop identifying yourself with all the stuff that went wrong in the past and say, I'm a son, I'm a daughter. Give me a new reflection, Lord. Huh. Jesus says, you are who I say you are. The enemy says, you'll never change. Jesus said, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The enemy says, you're too far gone. Jesus says, my grace is sufficient. Point number three, Jesus was exposing their false view of God. And I'm hurrying. Here's what you must be on guard for. The spirit of religion can make everything sound so close to Scripture and right, but it can be so wrong. That's why you got to know this Bible. You got to be in it. You got to dig into this thing. Make it part of relationship with the Lord. If your Bible is dusty, your life is dusty. Wipe it off and open it up. It's dusty. I don't know about you, but I don't like dust in my house. Some of you, you need to get that old Swiffer out and get that dust off your Bible and open it up and find out what God says about who you are. You might go, Pastor, that's kind of harsh. Okay, well, the average American reads their Bible 5 minutes a week. So, let's not be average. This is one area you can be exceptional in. The religious leaders of the day believed that Jesus was the Son of David, not the Son of God. Sounds like it might be okay, wrong, and I've been through this already today. So just that little change changes everything. What little change has the enemy been able to twist in your life that's now causing you to believe something that's completely not in Scripture?
Wow.
Little change, little thing. What little attitude have you let in? What little spirit have you allowed to fill in your mind? What little lie are you believing about yourself that God is saying, no, that's not who I created them to be? Because what starts out little, here's the thing about the enemy. You give him an inch and he takes a mile. Some of you, he's taken a lot of miles in your life. He's taking you on a ride that you don't want to be on, and it's time to break free of it. That's why we don't just come to church and act religious. We come to church for transformation. The religious leaders were so blind from the spirit of religion, that mask that they had on, they refused to see Jesus as Savior. The religious leaders hated it because Jesus was confronting the image of God that they've created in their minds. What image of God have you created in your mind that is completely not who he is? I got to walk over on that side. For some reason, I'm like, come on over to this side. I got to come over here. All right. Jesus shattered their categories. They wanted rules without surrender, appearance without transformation, tradition without power, appearance without transformation. You can look good on Sunday, but if you go out and live like the devil Monday through Friday, that's not transformation. And it's not me pointing it out. Let God speak to you. You can fake religion around people. You can't fake it around Jesus. He sees what nobody else sees, the hidden pride, the hidden addiction, the hidden insecurity, the hidden bitterness, the hidden fear. Hebrews says the word of God exposes the thoughts and the intentions of our heart. And remember, Jesus exposes what religion tries to hide, not to shame, but to heal us. We need to make sure that we're asking for Holy Spirit discernment. Lord, what am I believing about you that's not true? And I've been hitting this multiple times today. It's not because I'm repeating myself and I'm getting old, but it's because whenever you repeat yourself, it's important. Ask the Lord, what lie are you believing? And then let him come in and speak to you about it. Let's not make this just a normal Sunday as usual. I want to challenge you to go home and live with this. Some of you might go, I know this. I already know it. Religion knows relationship transforms. So if you know it, let Jesus come in and change you. Point number four, you can never discover your true identity until you settle in on who Jesus is. It's the key of the whole message. You're not going to understand who you are until you understand who he is. Identity flows from revelation. And I would say this, identity flows from a relationship. That's part of being a believer. If you say you love Jesus, how is your relationship with him? You might go, Pastor, I don't know where to start. Start right here, 10 minutes a day. Get into Scripture. Start praying. Start reading. Start saying, Jesus, more than anything, I want your presence in my life, and I want a relationship with you, God. I don't want to just know about you. I want to know you.
That's right. Yeah.
And whatever it takes, God, I want more of you. I want more of you. Let it change your life. When you know Jesus is Lord, you stop striving for approval. You stop living for other people's opinions. You stop letting culture define you. You stop finding identity in success, money, politics, relationship, or performance, because your identity becomes rooted in him. The reason so many people are exhausted is because they're trying to build identity on unstable things. Culture says define yourself. Jesus says deny yourself and follow me. Culture says, look inward. Jesus says, look to me. In fact, if you go to secular counselors today, they're going to put all the eyes inside of you. And I just want to say, if you're going to a counselor, you better make sure they're Christian. You need a Christian counselor. Do not go to a secular. They are discipling you. They're putting thoughts inside of you. You need a believer who's going to help counsel you. Jesus says, look, our culture says, look inward. Jesus says, look to me. Culture says, your feelings define truth. Jesus says, I am the truth. The enemy is fighting hard right now over identity because he knows identity creates spiritual confusion. Identity confusion creates spiritual confusion. We're watching an entire generation searching for identity everywhere except the one who created them. My heart is broken when I hear a trans person on TV talking about how they did the surgery and their life is worse than ever. Because when you try to take your identity into your own hands and you try to become something that God never created you to be, you're going to face difficulties and challenges. And it's something the church cannot stay silent about. Your identity is not found in your political party, your sexuality, your career, your failures, your trauma, your social media following, or how someone else has defined you. Your identity is found in God who created you and the Savior who redeemed you. If it's found anywhere else, you are putting yourself in a spot where you're going to have a train wreck. And after that, when Jesus answered that question, as we get ready to close here, there was not one more question. Why? Because revelation silenced religion. And that's my prayer to you today. If you have been religious without transformation, that it's silenced today, and today is a day of transformation. When Jesus revealed who he truly was, their arguments collapsed. And I love this because some of you have been wrestling with these questions. Am I enough? Am I loved? Can God use me? Am I too broken? Can I change? Does God still want me? When you truly encounter Jesus, the voice of the enemy stops losing volume. Because revelation silences accusation. The enemy is called the accuser, but Jesus is called the Savior. The enemy says, hide where Jesus says, come to me. The enemy says, wear the mask. Jesus says, be free. The enemy says, pretend. Jesus says, be transformed. Maybe today God is showing you some things in your life, some false identities, hidden masks, religious performance, insecurity, fear, pride, shame, not to destroy you, but to free you. And here's what I know. Whom the Son sets free is what?
Free indeed.
You're never going to have freedom until you know whose you are. And so today, across this room, will you bow your heads? And guys, will you, before you do that, if you're taking notes, write this down. Who am I and who's identifying me? Where is my identity coming from? Those are two questions I want you to look at this week in your life. Go home. And if all of a sudden the Lord says, this is what's identified you, then, okay, God, what do you want to identify me as? Build my identity according to what you've already spoke in my life. Guys, you can walk out of here. Some of you are like, man, I'm so mad he called me out today. No, I didn't call you out. But I'm giving you an opportunity for freedom. And letting God speak to you about who you are and whose you are. This week could be a really big memorial week for you where you can look back and realize this is the moment it all changed because I found out what God thinks of me. I found out my identity in Him.
Thanks for tuning in to Hope City Church. If this message encouraged you, share it with a friend and help spread the hope. If you'd like to support what God is doing through Hope City, you can give anytime at myhopecity.church/give. Your generosity helps us reach more people with the message of Jesus. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss a week. We can't wait to connect with you again. And remember, no matter what you're facing, there is hope in Jesus. We hope you have an amazing week.